Are you ready to create a life of balance, abundance, and joy? To live from a place of right intention and right alignment in all that you do? Then tune in right now to Living on Purpose with your host, Carolyn Romano. Living on Purpose is about standing in the center of your life so that no matter what's happening around you, you can respond from a place of peace and strength. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways you're meant to serve and grow while staying open to experiencing life fully. Living on Purpose is a time for us to come together to remember our divine selves while we learn and wonder about, weigh and consider, and unpack and repack the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life.
Welcome to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. I'm Carolyn Romano, your host, and I'm delighted to be here with you tonight. You are listening to a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network live broadcast at AM 1510 WMEX. Boston. To learn more and for a full station schedule that includes our affiliate show times, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Listeners, our topic tonight is Whirling Rainbow, honoring the wholeness of life. But first, a few housekeeping details. This show is also aired on dreamvision7radio.com at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Mondays and Tuesdays, as well as on other affiliates. Past shows are downloadable at the Dream Vision 7 archive and on iTunes. I invite you to please like my Facebook page, Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. You can contact me, Carolyn, at blisshealingarts.com or via my website, blisshealingarts.com. The Dream Vision 7 network has over 1.3 million listeners in more than 135 countries. We've got lots of great shows with new hosts joining all the time, so I invite you to have a listen. Our last show was called Cradleboard, Responding to Our Own Talents and Abilities. If you haven't tuned into that yet, I'll give you a little bit of background. Cradleboard was an infant carrier that was used in nearly every Native American tribe. It was basically a wooden frame that supported the body of a child. Inside was cushioned with diapering material. It could be lined with fur, covered in skins. And it basically had everything in its construction to protect a baby. No matter what happened to the infant in the cradle board, the board had the ability to respond. And that's a lot of what that show was about, the way that we think about responsibility as the ability to respond, which is much more proactive and empowering. It's the I can do something about this versus I'm responsible, which has more of a weight to it. I'm obligated in a way that doesn't necessarily speak to one's talent or ability. So you can find that show in the archives and learn how to use your own personal medicine to respond to different situations. But tonight our topic is Whirling Rainbow, honoring the wholeness of life. The Whirling Rainbow symbol is really a sign of awakening to one's potential. Jamie Sams in the Native American Sacred Path Cards book indicates that sometimes when we get into these periods of awakening where different levels of healing and completion have taken place, it kind of creates what she terms as a wobble, like something in your life where a time in your life when things just aren't feeling quite right. There's a certain instability when you might be confronting parts of yourself that no longer apply to your present path or circumstances. The things just no longer serve, yet the structures are still in place. It's almost like when we have certain habits, it's like a habit that no longer serves you. So you may even still respond the way you used to out of the habit of responding a certain way when you're triggered, when actually you've healed that part of yourself. So there are these sort of dissonant moments that sometimes we encounter. And I do see lately a lot of my clients describing things that feel very similar to this notion of a wobble. So in thinking about honoring the wholeness of life, one of the things that we really need to be doing and considering is how we allow our old identities to dissipate, right? You know, ways we were in the past. Well, that's in the past. That's who we were yesterday. Today, I'm standing on this ground, and this is who I am. And really being able to go into the self and to look at the ways that different aspects of ourself are not unified or are even promoting a disunity. Different belief systems we have that maybe limit us, or ones that you know, constraints that we allow other people to put on us that just aren't true, but we make them true by virtue of the fact that we allow them into our consciousness. So in order to really get to this whirling rainbow state of peace, almost, that's a good way to describe it, is to be willing to remove the things that prevent peace. Jamie Sams calls it, quote, removing the separateness that blocks our ability to find unity with the self. We've got many opportunities in our lives to seek wholeness and healing, and then what we really need to do is step back, take a moment to honor that wholeness, that completion, right? Celebrating the completions that do actually take place, the progress that we have made. I think a lot of times we're all moving so quickly and the planet's vibrating at such a high level that we're always on to the next thing and the next thing that we can't even take a moment to take stock and acknowledge the ways that we have shifted, the ways we are doing things differently. I know that applies to me in many circumstances. I'm just going. And most of the time not feeling like I'm doing that as a way to distract myself, but because I feel an urgency around service. But it really does take its toll on me that I'm not taking those times to kind of be in repose and to reflect. And it ends up, you know, having an impact on health. I've been sick the last few weeks, and I think it's a message from the universe that I need to be slowing down and taking stock. The Native American Sacred Path card for Whirling Rainbow also gives us the opportunity to look at the ways we're united in heart and mind. And as I was prepping for the show, this notion reminded me of something that's in the Taysan Wee prayer. Taysan Wee's White Buffalo Calf Woman. There's a point in the prayer that goes, "Everything I do, I shall do to the best of my ability, with my heart and with my mind. For I know if I do it in this way, the power of the universe will come to assist me, for my mind and my heart are one." So when you can operate in a way that your mind and your heart are one, that mine are, then the universe does everything in its power to align with that also. So talk about a wholeness achieved. I mean, that's really the essence of the Whirling Rainbow card. I wanted to talk a little bit about a session that I attended recently down in Norwood, Massachusetts. It was a day-long question and answer session with Tom Campbell. For those of you who do or maybe don't know him, he is a physicist and describes himself as a consciousness researcher. He wrote a book called My Big Toe, toe standing for a theory of everything. And so, you know, I wasn't sure that I was going to be able to follow everything, especially because the format was Q&A, so I figured, oh gosh, this is going to assume a lot of knowledge that I probably don't have. I'm not that great with physics and things like that, but I knew I had to go, and so I followed that instinct, even though I was still kind of dragging myself around from not feeling well. So he is someone who has spent quite a bit of time since the 70s researching altered states of consciousness. He spent a lot of time at the Monroe Institute for folks who are interested in understanding more about ways to get into altered states of consciousness. So that was back in the 70s. And for the last 30 years, he has been focusing on explaining from a scientific perspective the properties, boundaries, and abilities of consciousness. So a really neat, neat guy. And so in this talk, he gave some insights about the nature of our larger reality. And he claims to have this really complete theory of consciousness that explains our purpose and connection to that larger reality. He calls it the larger consciousness system or something like that. He even says that his theory is a way to address the paradoxes of modern physics. So these are these opposing or inconsistent truths that are still part of what physicists will say are true, but something's not quite right, but it's not figured out yet. So both of the theories or explanations will stand, even though they somehow contradict each other. So what I found in attending this is pretty remarkable, actually, was that he talked about the whole purpose of everything being, you're not even going to believe this, love. So here I think I'm going to attend this thing. It's going to be way over my head. I'm not going to understand the theories he's, you know, alluding to when he's answering questions. And it all boiled down to love. Our purpose here is love and how we serve. And so I want to sort of go into a few of the different notes I took and why it seemed so important to me. So first he talked about, people were very, very interested in, okay, well, how do I access this larger consciousness system? What do I need to do? And of course it boiled down to meditation taking you there. And now we've got all sorts of yogis and gurus and people who have said that in so many ancient texts, that the way is to go within and be still. And so what he talks about is being able to get into a state called point consciousness. And that is where you can let go of all sense data. Okay, so you're in this state where you're not processing what the senses are collecting. And you do that through meditation. And what he says can actually be a boost to this is using something called binaural beats. I've used them before. It's an interesting experience. And you have to, there, you can find tracks online and download them. And basically, you listen to the tracks of binaural beats with headphones on so that you have a different frequency in your right ear versus your left ear. And what he says is that the 4 hertz difference between 100 hertz and 104 hertz in these binaural beats encourages a theta state. And when you can get into this theta state, that's the point from which you can experience the larger consciousness system and get all sorts of information. Now, the interesting thing that he then went on to explain is that the information that comes to you when you access the larger consciousness system shows up as a metaphor. Now, he will say whether it's being sent from the system or rising up out of your own consciousness. He says it doesn't matter. But what it made me think about is how similar that sounds to shamanic journeying. So for those of you who don't know what that is where you journey, quote unquote, to what is known as non-ordinary reality, and you follow a drumbeat that helps to change your brainwaves. So same thing that you're trying to do with the binaural beats is what you're trying to encourage when you're using the drumming to help someone kind of ride the wave of the drum beats into non-ordinary reality. And whenever I explain the process to people, I say, okay, well, once you get there, once you arrive in non-ordinary reality, everything that is shown to you or taught to you is taught in metaphor. So I was like, wow, this is an interesting connection to make. And time and again during the day when I was listening to him, I was able to connect some of the things that he was saying about his theories and the way the larger consciousness system works with things that I know from studying metaphysical texts and ancient wisdom and experiencing things myself through my own shamanic journeying practice. So that was just an interesting little tidbit there. He also talked about the fact that so often when you're doing any of this work, intention is key. How you show up and the intention that you have when you're trying to serve, when you're trying to have experiences that will help you evolve at the level of consciousness, really relies on the intent that you set. Now, same thing is true when you're journeying. You always journey with an intention. You repeat it several times as you begin the experience. Whenever you do any kind of energy healing, intention is really key because it allows the energy, it allows vibration to go to the frequency of that intention to really help. So I thought that was a really important distinction or thing to bring up as well. And again, going back to that thought about love being the purpose of it all, and love being about other. So he brought this up. No one even asked it, but he said, all right, well, if that's the point of all this, but, you know, what does that mean about the self? I still have to pay my bills and, you know, take care of my family and that sort of thing. So what he said is, you know, that's perfectly fine. And in many instances, taking care of yourself, taking care of your obligations can sometimes even be construed as an act of caring. He brought up the instance of, all right, well, you're paying your bills. Well, that is about other because you made an agreement with, you know, say, a lender, and so you've got to pay your mortgage so that you can hold up your end of the bargain. So he really brought it down to sort of the most sort of mundane of levels. But what he really said when you're thinking about the self is that you need to be focused on releasing your fear, releasing your ego, examining the beliefs you have that might be holding you back, and moving towards self-acceptance. I am who I am, right? And I'll work with that. Now, if that isn't, you know, whirling rainbow wholeness achieved, I don't know what is. You know, once you can get to that point of self-acceptance, then really, he says, what's left over is caring for others. And he really drove this point home and said, you know, however you are configured, however smart you are, however attractive you are, you know, whatever you look like, whatever your personality is, it doesn't matter. It's how do we become love within that context. No one else has your exact context. No one else has mine. So how do we take that? How do we take the I am who I am and work with that? I mean, that it feels, the potential of that feels very empowering. He also moves into explaining about past lives in a way that I thought was compelling as well. He called them experience packets. So every past life that you have is an experience packet where you show up as a different self, right? It's a different wrapper for that same consciousness that you are. He also referred to them as avatars in a virtual reality, which I don't even think I can begin to explain, but I'll put it out there for those of you who want to pursue that further. So you sort of have an experience packet to help you evolve your consciousness. You have the self that's different every time, and that wrapper that you're in helps the delivery process of the consciousness, which I think is really interesting too, because if you think about every time you incarnate, you're sort of in a different wrapper. You're a different self with different constraints and rule sets put on you, right? So, you know, based on our gender, our size, our, you know, whether or not we have a disability or particular abilities, you know, how we're sort of, you know, our geography. I mean, all of those things are different constraints that our consciousness then has to sort of work with in order to evolve in that particular experience packet. So anyway, I think that's pretty interesting to be thinking about. And the fact that we all have constraints, and it's how we have a context to interact with the larger consciousness system. So, you know, you have an experience packet and another experience packet and another experience packet, and if you were to know or follow Tom Campbell in each of those different past lives or experience packets, you can get yourself into point consciousness perhaps and go into the larger consciousness system to learn, and then you get to interpret those metaphors and everything that comes to you within the context of the constraints that you have in that lifetime. And so he really boils it all down to, considering it's a theory of everything, that life is about what you do with what you've got. And that's something that I've said many times on past shows. Other things that I think are interesting that I think I have time to go through before we bump up against a break is this distinction that he makes between saying that something is either right or it's wrong. He says, you know what, we need to abandon that notion and look at whether something is productive or non-productive. So abandoning the notion of judging something as right or wrong, and saying, okay, is this productive or is it non-productive? Are my interactions, are the ways that I'm spending my time helping me move towards my goals, my ability to release my fear, my abilities to achieve an ego death, something that really we all want at a deep level, but we're all terrified of having at the same time. And so he says, you know, in that space too, to do the things that come to you to do. So that reminds me of the notion of really blooming where you're planted. A lot of times we think, no, I need all of my circumstances to look different, or I need to be different. I'm not in that place of self-acceptance. But if you really can think about, you know what, I'm going to live my life and, you know, do what I can with what I've got. I'm going to serve in the ways that I'm meant to serve, bloom where I'm planted. Looking at the things that show up for me to do and knowing that because I have this exact context that no one else has, that I can then serve in a way, respond in a way, use my wholeness in a way that no one else can. So those are my thoughts as we go into the break. When we come back, I will be discussing some more of the revelations and realizations I had listening to Tom Campbell down in Norwood a few weeks ago. And I'll let Rod take us to break.
Ever feel like you're getting in your own way? Want your life to flow effortlessly? Ready to step into the fullness of who you really are? Spiral Energies can help you transform your life and manifest your highest potential so you can live a deep, rich existence. Contact Janet Kesenick at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com. 617-926-4155. Begin your transformation today.
Maybe you have clear goals for your life but wish you were making more progress. Or perhaps you have no idea where you're headed, yet you still feel a sense of urgency to get there. Wherever you find yourself at this moment, consider how you will benefit from shamanic coaching with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts. This face-to-face approach works on achieving alignment on all four levels of your existence: mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Shamanic coaching combines traditional coaching methods with energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and shamanic techniques. The goal, to help people create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. Call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Donna Schatz is a licensed acupuncturist located in the Porter Square, Cambridge area of Somerville. With over 25 years of experience, Donna combines massage, acupuncture, and Reiki in her work while focusing on each client's individual needs. Contact Donna at 617-776-3065 or visit www.donnaschatz.com. That's 617-776-3065 or donnaschatz.com.
Living your values? Looking for companions on the path? With wisdom, humor, and compassion, artist Sarah Jepson Zitter answers many of the questions we have about living a spiritually grounded life. Check out her stunning graphic novels and designs on cards, mugs, and other cool gifts at gnomestedding.com. That's G-N-O-M-E, stedding.com. Or call Sarah at 978-897-6239 for more information.
Harvard holistic psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Dr. Judy Tsafrir offers empowering astrology and tarot readings that provide insight and guidance regarding love, work, and higher purpose. For more information, call 617-965-3020 or visit bostonastrologer.com or bostontarot.com. Readings are available via phone, Skype, and in person in Newton Center, Massachusetts.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 Radio Live broadcast here at AM 1510 WMEX Boston. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about whirling rainbow, honoring the wholeness of life. And right before the break, I was spending some time talking about an experience I had hearing Tom Campbell, physicist and consciousness researcher, during a question and answer session down in Norwood that was really quite satisfying and startling in its revelations. So I wanted to continue talking about what I learned there. One of the things he said is that the reason that we're all here, the purpose of consciousness is love. and that what people need to do is let go of their fear and their egos, to have an ego death, to be able to really get to a place of self-acceptance, to eliminate the limitations that we put on the self, especially around fear. And so this dichotomy that he brought up time and again between love and fear reminded me a lot about what Marianne Williamson teaches from A Course in Miracles, that there really are ever only two emotions, love and fear. If something is love, if you're feeling love, you can't be feeling fear. And if you're in a fear state, you're not able to access love. So it was interesting that this came up in the talk with Tom. Somebody asked him for a definition of love during the session, and he talked about things like compassion and caring, cooperation. When you look at different definitions of love, those three words are often a part of it. And when you think about those three words, they're really all about other. So the notion that the larger consciousness system and the reason we're all here is love, it's really about love and serving others. Now, that's supported as well in different biblical passages that talk a lot about love as well. And so while he was talking about all this, and actually it happened a number of times where I'd be like, oh, okay, well then what does that mean about XYZ? And then the next thing he'd talk about would be addressing my questions that I posed inside my head but didn't have the courage to ask out loud. So one thing was that my mind drifted to politics as he was talking about this notion of fear and love. And he said that, you know, right now what's happening is that people are getting caught up in sort of fear-based systems, right? And what do fear-based systems really have at their core? Well, this notion of, I don't want anyone to control me, so I'm going to support things that help me to make sure that no one can control me. Now, when you think about a love-based system, there's this fear coming from folks who are proponents of the fear-based system that if you're in a love-based system, you're going to be controlled. And what he said, which I think is very compelling, is that in a love-based system, no one is going to tell you what to do. You're going to be able to do what you want to do without the control of others. And that, this is an interesting notion here, the system, the larger consciousness system, will rearrange itself for optimization. So if we were truly living in this love-based system, everything around us would be optimized for our highest and best. So I thought, wow, this is something I can really get my head around. So I wanted to put that out there for people's consideration. The other thing I wanted to talk about, or another thing, is that he took a fair amount of time to say, you know, so many of the ways that things are explained in the world are really just models. You know, even his theory of everything, that's just one model for explaining how things are. Thinking about chakras, right? There are all these explanations of your chakra system, you know, systems of energy wheels or vortexes in your body that's been a certain way, and each one represents something, right? I mean, that's just a model too, to explain certain things and to help people have a system for organizing information and for really making sense of the world. And it's okay to have these models and to use them to sort of evolve ourselves, but he cautioned us to not confuse the model with the reality. Because these models, if you become too aligned with a particular model, then you become rigid in your mind. And you don't want that to happen. You always want to be in a state of openness to receiving and considering other information. So this reminded me of the fact that Madame Blavatsky, who is the founder of the Theosophical Society, which is basically a society that sort of studies ageless wisdom, but which also has its own model of, you know, reality, she would warn people, like there are folks that will call themselves theosophists because they follow the works of Madame Blavatsky, among others. And she would even say, you know, don't take everything that I'm saying as this dogma that must be followed. You have to really be, you have to really make yourself available to other ways of thinking, other bits of information. And so it's interesting that that was something that came up in Tom's talk. I also wanted to share something he shared about intuition versus intellect, right? We've got right brain versus left brain. A lot of times when I'm doing healing work, I'm really trying to get people out of the intellect where they have so many neck-up experiences that they're not able to kind of ground themselves in their body, in their experience on Earth, not really in, you know, connected in with their intuition, their gut, their sort of sense of things. So I tend to really operate on that intuitive level, even though I can operate from the intellect as well. But something that struck me as so interesting for my own development is this notion that right brain people, so people who operate from intuition, and again, this right brain, left brain notion is another model, another metaphor, but those folks don't have linear processes down. And that so perfectly described me, not in a judgmental way, but the way that I experience the world. I, like, if someone asks me to recount a story or a conversation that I had, I am so bad. Like, I can tell you the start and I can tell you the end, but if you want me to tell you the exact order of how something progressed in the middle, just does not work that way for me. Same thing if, let's see, for those of you who know Massachusetts, if, you know, there are some main streets that will go, you know, Main Street in Town A connects to Main Street in Town B to Main Street in Town C. So if I am thinking about that connection of main streets, do not ask me which comes first when you're traveling in one direction versus another. That linear thing does not work for me. So I was really happy to hear that is attributed at least in part to the fact that I'm operating from a more intuitive aspect of myself. The other thing that I think people get hung up on, and I talk about this a lot in shamanic journeying or when I'm doing hypnosis with people and guided imagery, that the people want to know, well, is it real? Like, if I travel to non-ordinary reality, is it real? And in a sense, it doesn't matter whether it's imagined or it's real. I mean, if, in fact, Tom is correct and we're all in a virtual reality anyway, then, you know, as real as it is or it seems, it's also not real at the same time. So the power of the imagination is really important, and it's okay either way. It doesn't matter either way whether these experiences are imagined or real. In fact, when I am doing hypnosis with someone, I will say, you know, see, sense, feel, or imagine you're walking down a path and blah, blah, blah. So it's okay to imagine and experience. The brain can't make a distinction between what's real and what's imagined. So for him, he will say, you know, the question then isn't whether it's imagined or real, it's whether that information that comes to you is useful. Very utilitarian of him. But do you make better choices because of that information? So imagined versus real doesn't matter. It's more whether or not the information you get, the metaphors you get, are useful. And do you make better choices because of it? Okay, so now I want to shift into something that I've also been thinking about around what he shared. We're talking about Tom Campbell at a Q&A session in Norwood. He said that you can't really share an experience with anyone else. So something happens to you, and as much as you want someone else to really understand what that was like for you, it's really impossible to share it. And the reason for that is that we're limited because we can only describe it in a linear language. So someone has an experience, then they try to tell you about it, and it's already twice removed by the time it gets to you. I totally resonate with that. That experience of having an experience and then the inadequacy of words to be able to really convey to someone how impactful something was for me. And I wonder if you experience that as well. So someone in the group at that point asked about, you know, well, what about laughing and crying? Because those are big emotions, big experiences that people have. And what he said was that consciousness expresses itself through emotion. And so strong feelings, like, you know, that evoke laughter or crying, is a way that the body expresses, or the way consciousness expresses through the body, something in a non-intellectual way, right? So when you have a strong feeling, it's a moment when, you know, an intellectual expression with words just won't cut it. So your consciousness almost, I guess, takes over, and the experience then that you have is one of laughter or crying. And certainly that communicates something to another person. So I thought that was a pretty intense thing to be contemplating. I offer it for your consideration. When we come back, we will wrap things up.
Maybe you have clear goals for your life but wish you were making more progress. Or perhaps you have no idea where you're headed, yet you still feel a sense of urgency to get there. Wherever you find yourself at this moment, consider how you will benefit from shamanic coaching with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts. This face-to-face approach works on achieving alignment on all four levels of your existence: mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Shamanic coaching combines traditional coaching methods with energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and shamanic techniques. The goal: to help people create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. Call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Ever feel like you're getting in your own way? Want your life to flow effortlessly? Ready to step into the fullness of who you really are? Spiral Energies can help you transform your life and manifest your highest potential so you can live a deep, rich existence. Contact Janet Kesenick at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com, 617-926-4155. Begin your transformation today.
Involved in a divorce or custody dispute? Time to finally get your will and health care proxy in place. Need help getting special education services for your child with a disability? For these and other legal issues, the attorneys at Levine Pirro Law can help. We provide all our Massachusetts clients with compassionate, affordable, quality legal representation. Contact us for a free consultation at 978-637-2048. That's 978-637-2048. Or visit Levine Pirro Law.
Living your values, looking for companions on the path? With wisdom, humor, and compassion, artist Sarah Jepson Zitter answers many of the questions we have about living a spiritually grounded life. Check out her stunning graphic novels and designs on cards, mugs, and other cool gifts at gnomestedding.com. That's gnomestedding.com. Or call Sarah at 978-897-6239 for more information.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome back. We are in our final segment of Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast at AM 1510 WMEX Boston. If you're just joining us, our topic tonight is Whirling Rainbow, honoring the wholeness of life. I have been talking about the theme for tonight's show by way of an event I attended recently with Tom Campbell, a physicist and consciousness researcher who wrote My Big Toe as an explanation of his theory of everything. So I'm up to the point where I want to talk about what he says about healing, because my mind certainly went there, that if we are in a virtual reality, then what is our ability to alter that virtual reality when it comes to dis-ease and illness and things of that nature. So what he said is that in order to impact and heal the body, you have to begin at what he calls the level of being, the level of being. And in order to get to that level, you have to be able to achieve what I explained in the first segment of the show is point consciousness. So that is a state in which you are able to tune out all sensory data that's coming in so that you can really bring yourself down to this single point. And from there, you're able to access the larger consciousness system, work on what he calls modifying the probability set of different outcomes to particular illnesses or different outcomes, really, you know, extrapolating to anything that's going on, and how possible it is to affect change and to improve someone's health through this process. He said the thing, though, that can really get in the way is one's level of fear. So if you wanted to endeavor to spend some time thinking about or trying to get to point consciousness to impact your health, you would first want to ask yourself, what is my level of fear if I don't see a doctor right away? If your fear is really high, then maybe you should go see a doctor. If your fear is pretty low, then you can work on it. So I thought that was interesting, the way, again, that fear steps in to, you know, interfere in a way. So that was something that I thought was really interesting. He also touched on things somebody asked about, well, what about animals? Are they, you know, avatars? What is their level of consciousness? What about trees? And what he said, certainly with animals, he said that they, you know, absolutely have consciousness. They have a different rule set, different constraints put on them, but they certainly feel and think and grieve. Trees, he didn't have as much to say other than thinking maybe that there was awareness there. But he said that his general rule was looking at the notion of free will versus some expert system of algorithms, right, of, you know, equations and formulas that, you know, really sort of get figured out and then a certain effect will happen because of the algorithm versus an effect happening because someone has free will and choice in a matter. So that's sort of his distinction between, you know, something that is or isn't conscious or does or doesn't have consciousness. Someone else wanted to know from him about how do you practice this? How do you practice getting to point consciousness and accessing the larger consciousness system? And he said, again, this really working with the binaural beats, you can search that online. It's B as in boy, I, N as in Nancy, A-U-R-A-L. And you can find ones that will help to encourage a theta state, which then really can help you to get into that experience of point consciousness. And then he said from there, three ways to practice. One would be with remote viewing, maybe get a partner and say, okay, let's see if we can, you know, see each other in the larger consciousness system at this location and, you know, describe what we're doing once we come back from the experience. He said practicing with healing, getting someone who knows, you know, four or five people and what their issues are and being able to, from there, maybe say some things about their condition. And also psychokinesis, which is being able to move objects. So I thought that was an interesting one as well. Okay, just thinking in our remaining time, what else do I want to cover? I think I'll just say a couple more things about this. First, he says that he thinks it's a mistake for us to, you know, those of us who say, oh, well, time doesn't really exist, everything's happening all at once. He thinks that's a mistake and that time as a linear process is actually fundamental for change. And that there is a synergy that happens when you look at all your past lives together to see sort of what, how your consciousness is evolving, that you need these things to be sequential in some way. So time is fundamental for change. And really that it's the reality of our own interactions that matters, that that's what's real. You know, if we're in the virtual reality, what we do is the thing that is real. So what I want to sort of start wrapping up with is this thought that, okay, here's this guy, Tom Campbell. He started out researching metaphysics and consciousness, spending all this time in those little pods at the Monroe Institute. And from there, it turned out that he was able to explain physics and the paradoxes that exist in our current understanding. So, you know, in some ways, it was too much for me to get my brain around, you know, because of probably my own constraints and my own context for this current experience packet or lifetime that I'm in. But in many ways, I really get what he's saying. And so, oddly enough, when I pulled up the documents that I used to prep for the show, there were some quotes that I had put in for potential use in a past show that I ended up not using, and they were by Stephen Hawking, a physicist, and also Einstein. And so I wanted to share both of these with you. So the one by Stephen Hawking comes from the concluding passage of A Brief History of Time, one of his seminal works, or maybe his only work. And what he says is, if we do discover a complete theory, you know, complete theory of everything, it should in time be understandable in broad principle by everyone, not just a few scientists. Then we shall all, philosophers, scientists, and just ordinary people, be able to take part in the discussion of why it is that we and the universe exist. If we find the answer to that, it would be the ultimate triumph of human reason. For then we would truly know the mind of God. That was from A Brief History of Time and Stephen Hawking, well-known physicist. And then Einstein, we'll wrap with this, the most beautiful and most profound emotion one can experience is the sensation of the mystical. It is the source of all true science. So let's contemplate these quotes and all that I shared tonight as we close tonight's program. I've got all sorts of upcoming opportunities that you can check out on my website, blisshealingarts.com. I thank you for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please be in touch at carolyn@blisshealingarts.com. My next show is July 10th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, when my topic is Moon Lodge, Seeing Strength in Non-Action. Remember, tonight's show will air Monday and Tuesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. at dreamvision7radio.com. Until next time, I wish you moments of grace descending. Take good care.
Thank you for tuning into Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Please join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. when we unpack and examine the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways we're meant to serve and grow, while staying open to experiencing life fully. It's about recognizing and becoming the fullest expressions of who we are. It's about envisioning the lives we're meant to be living, and then joyfully living from that end. Yes, Boston and beyond. Until next time, get your bliss on. For more info, visit blisshealingarts.com.